Holy you are, holy Lord. We bow before your presence, unworthy of your grace. We bow before your presence, unworthy of your grace. We bow before your presence, we give you all our praise. We bow before your presence, we give you all our praise. You have cleansed us with Jesus' blood, made us whiter than the snow. You have cleansed us by Jesus' blood, made us whiter than the snow. You have called us your children, you've empowered us to go. You have called us your children, you've empowered us to go. Holy, holy you are, holy Lord. 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 We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you.
King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this is touch your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell these people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their eyes dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their hearts and turn to be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, till the houses are left desolate and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everybody far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remain in the land, it will again be laid bare. But as the terebinth and oak leaf stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be a stump in the land." Praise God for his word. Amen. Now, I've just said to you, this is probably my favourite scripture, one of my favourite scriptures, certainly from the Old Testament. In fact, I preached on it when I was a student. You have to do these assignments, and I did mine in front of two doctors of divinity, and I'm at London Bible College, and they sit and mark you. They were quite strict, really, and they made comments about what I had to say. Not that I took much notice, but I listened to their comments, it was alive for me. It became alive for me when I was at Rothley, because it became an experience in my life. This scripture came alive for me for such a long time. It's full of meaning. So today I could talk about 3 hours in it. Now, I might have preached those to you, that you can easily see in God's revelation, God's radiance, and repentance. I could preach that, but I'm not going to. Or I could preach on this morning on God's awesome splendor and his fearful holiness. I could do that, but I'm not going to. But it's all there. I could talk about this morning, I don't know if you notice it, the glimpse of the Trinity. There are only glimpses often in the Old Testament. And there it is. Whom will I send and who will go for us? The whole Trinity is involved in the sending of Isaiah, his call. But I'm not going to preach for that either. I could talk about his call, and he's called a ministry. It's very interesting. It's here in chapter 6, but I'm not even going to mention that. But I might do it another time. Because he says, and his response to it, "Here am I, Lord. Here I am. Send me." Or, of course, what you expect me to do today is talk to you about rededicating our lives to the Lord's service, which I could do, and to turn it back and say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me." But I'm not going to do any of that today. Aren't you pleased? Yeah, don't nod away like that. You're not going to be pleased. Instead, I want to focus on verse 1. Verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. There's so much more in this. There is. It could take us a long time to preach through that chapter. But I just want us to focus on this verse today. The year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So the first thing I want to say, there are always times and events in life that are of great importance. In the year King Uzziah died, that's an important point for Isaiah. And so there are times and events. In fact, that was one of the points that my tutor told me I should have picked up on that first preach at the Bible school that I never did. But there we are. There are times and events in life of great importance for individuals, for churches, for nations, and for the world. And we often remember them by the year or by an event in the year. So if I says, what do we remember of 1939 to 45? We remember that awful Second World War with Nazi Germany and with Japanese forces by those dates. Or if I say to you, Paul, 1966, what would that remind us of?
In the world.
Winning the World Cup is a distant memory now, but they're dates that we remember things by. Or if I said to you, July the 20th, 1969, that was my birthday. And I was 16. July the 20th, 1969. Don't go adding it up. You'll further out how old I am anyway. Way past the... sell by date. That's not nice, is it? She's very cruel. But that I remember that date so clearly, my 16th birthday, because man walked on the moon. I remember it so clearly. And I said to you, I met a man when I was in Norfolk who helped in the whole program of man getting to the moon by sorting out the guidance controls on the rocket and things. It was remarkable. So I remember it so clearly. I remember November the 22nd, 1963. Any idea what happened then? I was coming home from Cubs, and it was a Friday night. And I got indoors, and my mum... Sorry?
Was it JFK?
It was. It was JFK. Yeah, Kennedy was killed. So yeah. I got home, a little young lad, 10 years old. I said, why isn't the telly on? And they said it's all been taken off air because President Kennedy's been assassinated. You might remember where you were, or 31st of August 1997. That's when Princess Diana died.
Yeah.
Or I haven't got a date for that, but I know exactly where I was when the attacks took place on the Twin Towers in America. September 11th, 2001. Where was I? I was at a retreat with John Bridger and others at that time when that terrible thing. Memorable dates, memorable times, memorable years that are imprinted on our minds. And I dare say you've all got some. Memorable times, and they often remember just by the date or by an incident, which brings the date to mind. Well, at the beginning then of 2021, who can forget 2020? Who can forget what's happened with the COVID pandemic? As Murray said, if we said this time last year, we'd all be meeting on Zoom, there'd be lockdowns and more lockdowns, there would be people dying all over the world. World have been changed. Lives, work, nation, church, the world changed. Our everyday lives turned upside down. Terrible consequences of this pandemic from COVID-19. And the fears that it's brought, and the uncertainty that it's brought, and the challenges that it brought, and it's bringing, and the change that keeps changing. Then you turn on the television and it changes what we can do and we can't do and what will happen. This won't happen. Children back at school, they're not back at school. There's a jab for people to have, so there's some hope, and then it's dashed away again because there's a new virus strain. It's been a bit of a year. Would you agree with that? Don't sound very happy at the moment, but stay with me, all right? Stay with me, because actually that's what we're living in. We can't do this and say it hasn't happened, it's happened. It's been a year that people would prefer not to remember. But it's there and it's affected our lives. And that, it brought about fears and uncertainty and political upheaval and uncertainty all around the world. When I was talking about, the state of the American Health Service to be able to deal with this sort of how you inject everybody. There's been so much to think about, concerns, worries. Even if we're Christians, we're not removed from those. So what's that got to do with Isaiah, you might ask? Well, it says this, actually. The year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was related to this king. He was actually his cousin. He was a young teenager, probably. And as this new dawn opens in the year that King Uzziah died, I want to look in a moment or two after Phil leads us in another song on the fact that he was facing those same problems, with the political upheaval, uncertainties, challenge, change, fears, worries. All there for probably the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. All there for it that he had to face. So let's stop for a moment and think that, you see, the scriptures are not written outside of our experience. Our experience of God is lived in this human body in a world that's fallen. And we have to make sense of those things. And that's what the Lord helps us to do. So with that, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to pass over Phil now. And then I'll come back. I won't be too long. You'll be pleased to know. But hopefully I can bring a little bit of hope for us as well. Because it's the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Thank you, Phil. Bless you. Thank you so much. So this story is set with Isaiah going off to the temple to worship. You wonder that he'd been pondering, do you think, what lay ahead, when you go to church or you're even preparing for a Sunday like this, you wonder what's going to happen, what lies down the road a bit. And he's pondering about this king, his cousin, who had had a long reign. He reigned for 52 years. 52 years. The last bit of it, his son, Jotham, was a regent because he'd gone and got leprosy. But it was a mostly long and prosperous reign, and mostly good. So he's wondering, perhaps he's pondering over that, and he's wondering, what does the future lie? What's it going to look like under King Jotham? He wonders, will it be a good reign or a bad reign? Perhaps he's wondering, will he be used further to speak to the king about wrongdoing or give advice and direction as a prophet of God? Will it be a good reign or will he go wrong like his father had, and there'll be chaos that comes from it? You see, King Uzziah wasn't a bad king. He just allowed his pride and the power and pride had replaced his dependency on God's ways, on God's order, on God's help. And sometimes, you know, we can walk with the Lord for such a long time that we can let it go sometimes, and we get so used to it, we take it all for granted. And it's probably one of the reasons that King Uzziah started to say that he could be a priest you read about that in 2 Kings. And do things in the temple that he wasn't allowed to do, that God hadn't ordained him to do. But he basically wasn't a bad guy. And you imagine all this going on as he's on his way to the temple. But there's so much uncertainty. It's a big time. There's so many concerns that this young guy's got, and so many fears and unanswered questions. But as he enters the temple, with all these concerns about his cousin's death, he enters the temple assuming that it's just a normal religious service. He's just come for the cultus activity, all that's going on, the sacrifices and the fires and the prayers and all the things and the smells and the bells that were certainly there. In the temple, it was an incredible place to go, but you get used to that, you see. So he's just turned out for what he believes is a normal day at the temple, normal religious service. But this normal religious service is going to change his life forever. He has a vision. Well, I want you to note, first of all, he's not asleep. He hasn't fallen asleep, and I hope none of you are. I've not flipped through this morning to see if any of you have fallen asleep or you've gone for a walk while I'm preaching. But he hadn't fallen asleep, because otherwise he would have had a dream. A vision is when you are awake. That's the difference between visions and dreams. Visions are when you are awake. Okay, so you're seeing something that isn't naturally there. You're seeing something spiritually that in fact, other people can't see. It's a vision. I can't say I've had many, but I've had a few. And you're very aware that you're suddenly somewhere else. And it's God's taking you there. And he has a vision of a phrase that he uses, Isaiah uses a lot, the Holy One of Israel. He uses that over 50 times, by the way, in the book of Isaiah, the collective prophecies of Isaiah. This is no little vision. Oh, I see a tree. Oh, I see a waterfall. It's much, much more than that. It's not a little vision like perhaps people have today, or I see a bit of water coming backwards and forwards. This is a big, multicolored, awesome visual experience of God. It's awesome. It's multicolored. It's visual. It says, "I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord." It doesn't happen. Man don't see the Lord and live. Moses had seen the Lord, but very few others had actually seen the Lord. I saw the Lord. Yahweh God, the Lord. They were scared to call him by his name, Yahweh. So the Lord is exalted. And his radiant glory just fills the temple. Now, I've occasionally been to a meeting where there's such a presence of God. It's a most awesome, almost fearful experience. You feel trembling in God's presence. Doesn't happen very often. But I want you to note, it is only Isaiah that is seeing this vision. Nobody else is seeing it. They're not seeing it or experiencing it. He's probably in his late teens, the scholars think, and he is seeing the King of Kings. He is seeing the Exalted One, the King of Israel, the Lord of all. He's seeing and he's hearing and he's experiencing it. Now, I could go on from there, and originally when I wrote these thoughts down, I went on to think about what he experienced and the effect it had on me. I'll come back to that at another time. But let's just say, when we experience the awesome presence of God, we are changed. And we become like ourselves, very aware of our humanity and of our shortcoming and of our sin. We do not rush in with a set of requests. We don't rush in with another hymn or another song or anything else. Whenever I've, and there have been very few in my life, those sorts of experiences, the place to be is on your face, on the ground, and saying, "Oh Lord, have mercy," which is really what Isaiah is saying. But I'll come back to that another time, right? Because sometimes we've got such a low expectation of experiencing the Lord, and we think we're all for lovely and cuddly. It wasn't lovely and cuddly for Isaiah. It was awesome, but fearfully wonderful and great and definitely life-changing. So the last thing I just want to say to you this morning is this. Today, you've just come, you've logged on at Wayne's invitation to a normal Zoom service in uncertain, difficult, fearful times, and with political upheaval as well, and chaos. You've logged in at a time when we're all suffering from all sorts of fears and change and challenge. You know, I mean, just seeing the lorries queuing up last week to go to Dover, you just realise what an difficult land and times we live in. And we're still in the grip of this pandemic, as we've shared this morning, but that gets awfully close now when next door neighbours and families that we know are being affected, and some have even sadly lost their lives. So it's not ideal time, is it, for a vision from heaven? It doesn't appear to be an ideal time for a vision from heaven, or is it? Yes, it is, I'd suggest to you. It's an ideal time for us to be expectant of God. See, maybe we haven't become, we've lost expectancy from God. We've got settled into the rhythm in the system, one of the reasons we changed it this morning. But for us to think, it was just church. Yeah, now the real world, you know, and God's sort of an added on rather than very central to what's happening at the moment. It's not ideal time for, maybe you or I have lost that expectant heart. Maybe we've put too much hope in human wisdom, in human understanding, in what everybody else is doing around us. But still, today, God seeks us out. Still today, God speaks. Still today, God acts and reveals, and God answers prayers, as we can testify to. God is a God who hasn't stopped revealing himself. Always, always through the book. Always through his word. But also through visions and dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. So I suppose I've got to do that now rather than see visions. But you know what I mean? And young men and women alike will hear from God. That's part of the promise of the new covenant. That we, God's Spirit enables us to see and feel God. It may not be like Isaiah, but let's not lower our expectation that in this crisis God will reveal himself in the everyday things of life, through nature, through a friend, through the scriptures. Let's remember and believe that in this year of COVID, we will see and experience more of the Lord. He's still enthroned. Despite the past, despite what's happening now, he's still all powerful. He's still the Holy One. And he's much, much, much more than just our protector. Yes, he does protect us. Yes, his angels guard us. Yes, we're protected, as we were reminded recently of it, that he surrounds us and protects us. But he's much, much, much more than that. So let's expect much, much, much more of our God this year. It's in these times of crisis and difficulty that God often reveals himself in the most ways you don't expect. I was called to ministry when my businesses were failing, when I wondered if we'd even keep our home because of our business failures. God speaks in the difficulties as well as in the good times. So let's have open hearts and minds. Let's not be shut off to this is just a normal occurrence. Let's be open. Let's be expectant, seeking him in everyday things as we go about putting Jesus first. For Jesus' promise is with us every day. Yes, he's loving us. He's guiding us. God is forgiving us. And yes, he is protecting us. But will you join with me and say, and more, Lord? So much more, more of you, Lord. That's the cry of the Pentecostal revival. May that be the cry of our hearts at the beginning of this year. More, Lord. More of you. And it always seems to come out. I encourage you to have a little look at the prophet Jeremiah, who was locked up in the courtyard because he'd upset the king and upset the priests, and he'd upset his family but for bringing God's word. And in the middle of that, in Jerusalem's about to fall, and God sends one of his relatives said, buy a field. And God says, buy it, because houses will be built again. Houses and cities will be re-inhabited again. That God is saying to us, again, my word will go forth. Again, you will sing outside. Again, you will be able to witness to your friends. Again, there's so much more. Let's open our hearts to that now. I'm going to ask Murray to lead us in a response to this right now and a prayer. Thank you, Murray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new week. We thank you for Pastor Brian and the word that you have spoken to us through him. Lord, we thank you that we can bow before you in absolute reverence and fear, because we know that we have fail to recognize your greatness at times. We have taken you for granted at times. Our faith has become at times less than it should. It's been lukewarm. So Father, we pray that at the beginning of this new year, you will reveal to us afresh your majestic power in our lives. We humble ourselves, Lord. And we pray that you would reveal yourself to us afresh at the beginning of this new year, that we will see you working in unexpected ways as you use us to bring your hope to others. And we wait expectant for you to, in your mercy, give us that fresh vision. Your love, your power, your grace.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you that we're part of your big story. The story that started at the beginning of the world. That saw Moses seeing you in the burning bush. That saw Isaiah seeing you in the temple. Father, that inspired Phil to write, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, yesterday. We are part of your big story, and we want to be part of your story as we face this week. you know what lies ahead, and we just ask, Lord, that we would be expectant that you would show up for us at school, at work, on our Zoom calls, in our families. Lord, we want to be instruments of hope for you this year as we share your love, your glory, your power. In small ways and big, help us, Lord, to be obedient to you this week. We pray in your mighty name. Amen.